Tom Temin and Amy Morris, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
That leaves about a third of Americans over the age of 15 who've never been married.
30%, yeah.
Those figures come from a report with a romantic title called, ready? Oh, this is hot. Number, Timing, and Duration of Marriages and Divorces, 2009.
Well, they put no emotion in this report.
The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
Cisco is the official sponsor of FederalNewsRadio.com. The Cisco Center at FederalNewsRadio.com is your resource for cloud computing, data center, security, and collaboration strategy and solutions. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ken Allen. Ken is the Executive Director of the American Council on Technology and the Industry Advisory Council, better known as ACT-IAC. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Delighted to be with you today.
Glad you could be. I'm trying to highlight a number of the key associations for the last week. I did Women in Technology, this week ACT-IAC, and these are associations that I've been affiliated with in one way or another over the years. And I was an early member of IAC. I'm not currently a member of much of anything because I believe that if you're going to be a member, you should be active. And I just don't have a tremendous amount of spare time right now. But give us an overview of what ACT-IAC is all about.
ACT-IAC is really a partnership of government and industry. We've been around for about 30 years. We're a nonprofit educational organization that was created to improve government and improve government using technology. What's unique about ACT-IAC is that our mission is to work to improve government. And we do that by providing a forum where government and industry can collaborate as equals on issues affecting government and technology. So we don't lobby, no business promotion. It's really a place for government and industry to sit at the table together to figure out how do we use innovative technologies to serve the public better, deliver government services, protect the nation. And, so that's it's a very unique organization.
It is, and it's the only one of its kind in that the initial organization, the Federal Federation of Government Information Processing Councils, excuse me, was actually begun by feds, but had some sort of congressional mandate to go with it.
It did, and very good. There aren't many people who remember the original name of ACT, which was the Gypsy, as it was called, or you spelled it out, Federation of Government Information Processing Councils. But it really was created by government for government. And but you have to remember the times. This was the 70s. Computers were a little bit different than we know today.
Great
they were
big.
They took up the whole floor. they were much more expensive, and pretty much government was the only game in town that could afford these things. There were no CIOs. There were no best practices. They were making it up as they went along. And that's what Fujipsi was, a place for them to get together and talk about how do we do a better job.
And it was I obviously was not around at the beginning of that, but I was around at the beginning of the Industry Advisory Council when Jim Ridgel and a bunch of other folks got together with, again, I don't know if they had particular blessing from the Hill, but they had to have some sort of endorsement because that's when the interaction started. Fujipsi predated IAC by, what,
about 10 years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What happened was, and this again, now we've moved into the 80s, was we were operating under the Brooks Act, for those in your audience who are old enough to remember that acquisition process. Jack Brooks, and no agency could buy a computer without getting GSA's approval. But what happened was, for a variety of reasons, through various interpretations of the acquisition rules and ethics rules, government and industry really couldn't talk to one another. And it became incredibly difficult for the government that wanted to buy technology to talk to the folks who were providing it to understand what the technology could do, and vice versa. Industry wanted to talk to government to figure out what the government's needs were, but there was no way to do it. So FGCSE, which was still all government, said, we're going to create an industry advisory council, which they did, and that was created in about 1989. So when you think of the organization, a couple ways to think of it. Sometimes I describe it as a coin, of which one side is the government, and that's ACT, and the other side of the coin is IAC, and that's the industry. The other way I found that's useful to think about it is sort of like a marriage, two people with different perspectives but a common vision of how the world should look.
And it's, again, you know, over these 3 decades for the ACT side, two plus for the IAC side, this has remained a vital organization for the business of government, both the internal side for the feds and state and local now, as well as the interaction part for industry being able to work directly with the agencies.
It is, but it's even more than just an organization. One of the things that I'm constantly fascinated by about ACT IAC is it is truly a community of people who really work together to improve government. We have people who have been to every single management of change conference for the past 31 years.
Phil Kvyat has to be one of them.
He missed the last one, actually.
No!
His trend is broken, but... But we have people who've been here. They may have worn different hats. We have a lot of government folks who retired who are now active on the industry side. For example, Karen Evans, the former EGOV administrator, is actually now running for our industry board of directors.
Oh, Karen's not old enough to have been at the first one.
She wasn't at the first one, but she's typical of the folks who have been in this community and remain in the community wearing a different hat. And that's part of what's exciting about it, that really they are people here, whether they're government or industry, are truly committed to enhancing government and making it a better organization.
And it is that way. I mean, it has been a community for years and years, and my involvement, only stopped or slowed because of my lack of time. But I got to tell you, I really, really enjoyed being part of that. And I was invited way back when Howard 80 was in charge. And Howard's probably one of the ones who's been there at all of them, too.
He has. And he was at the Management of Change. I just saw him. So.
Cool. Let's talk about the Management of Change then. I mean, here is a vital conference in its 31st year, and it just ended. So give us a recap.
Well, Management of Change, interesting, was the very first official function this new organization created after it was established in 1979. Purpose was to bring together government to talk about change. And the title of the conference, interesting enough, has not changed much over the years. Clearly, the technologies have changed, the issues have changed, but the idea of meeting together to talk about issues has not. We just returned from the 31st Annual Management of Change. It was held down at the Homestead, a lovely facility. We had about 370 people, and as we do within ACT-IAC, we had about a ratio of 3 industry for every government. We don't exceed that for our conferences because we really want to talk about collaboration. And we find that if you get too many industry people for every government person, it's tough to have a truly collaborative discussion.
Right.
The conference chairs were Adrian Gardner and Mark Abel this year. They and the planning committee put together a dynamite conference. This year focused on cross-jurisdictional collaboration. What we know is that the government is facing incredibly new challenges. I mean, the government's facing severe budget cuts. It's going to have to do more with less. And we've talked about this on and off over the years, but I think truly everyone would agree that never of this magnitude. And today, more than ever, government and industry need to collaborate. They need to collaborate across organizational lines, across governmental lines, local, federal, state. And that was the theme of this year's conference.
Okay. How did my friend Jorge Haddock do as a keynoter?
He did. He's, of course, the chair of the business school at George Mason University. Did very well. Really stimulated the group to think about how do you work with staff to move from good to great? What do you have to do to challenge and motivate your people? Because that's the key part of whether of your ability to achieve any organization.
And the School of Management has a number of innovative programs. They just announced a new one for, I think it's a Homeland Defense-based or facing one. And we have a program also, Government
right.
Worker Master Program, with Mason now as well.
That's right.
He was
a highlight. Another keynoter who was outstanding was Dave McClure of GSA.
Right.
Talked about some of the things they're doing to promote transparency, to promote innovation. And they're just releasing a new innovation program to encourage ideas from all interested parties. And Dave really got a lot of interest going, a lot of discussion going in terms of his presentation.
Cool. My guest today is Ken Allen. Ken is the Executive Director of the American Council on Technology and the Industry Advisory Council, ACT-IAC. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the management of change and the upcoming fall Executive Leadership Conference. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
If sitting at a desk, working at a computer, or drinking coffee was a good workout, most of us would be in awesome shape. Unfortunately, they aren't. But that doesn't mean if you're behind a desk, you can't go move around some. Kaiser Permanente suggests organizing a lunchtime walking group. Nothing revolutionary, just a group of coworkers that walk every day at lunch. It doesn't matter where, what matters is the walking. Just 30 minutes a day. Studies show that employees who move around and get exercise feel less stressed, lose weight, and lower their risk for chronic conditions. When employers choose Kaiser Permanente, the walking group is just one of the many ideas and tools that we provide to help employees stay healthier and more productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The ComSatCom report, provided by Hughes.
It doesn't take a disaster or cyber attack to knock out a terrestrial communications network. One simple construction error or backhoe cut can do it. A diverse path satellite backup solution to a primary landline network is essential to ensure continuity of operations or COOP, to keep defense networks running no matter the situation. National programs must have a COOP backup for terrestrial connections with inherent security functions to protect voice, video, and data transmissions. Hughes Defense Solutions meet U.S. TRANSEC and FIPS 140-2 Security Level 2 standards for secure global connectivity wherever your mission may take you. Hughes has the technology and experience to deliver the right COOP solutions on time and on budget.
To learn more about Hughes Defense Solutions and contract vehicles, visit today's complete ComSatCom report on federalnewsradio.com or visit Hughes on the web at defense.hughes.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
A new mobile app lets smartphone users instantly check to see whether any product on a store shelf has been recalled and why. The new recalls.gov app lets users scan a product's UPC code with their phone's camera, then searches government databases to see if it's been recalled by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Food and Drug Administration, or the Department of Agriculture. It's one of 18 new mobile apps the federal government unveiled this month.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Do you want to know how to manage stress, do more with less, work well with your political boss, protect your professional liability? If you're a senior executive or an SES candidate, you can't afford to miss Managing Smarter, the Senior Executives Association annual conference. Join former Representative Tom Davis, political pundit Norm Ornstein, and other speakers on June 16th at the Grand Hyatt Washington. For a complete agenda and to register, visit the SEA website, www.seniorexecs.org.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ken Allen, Executive Director of ACT IAC, and you can find the American Council on Technology at actgov.org, actgov.org. Ken, let's talk a little more about what went on at Management of Change this year, the CXO topics that were addressed,
sure.
and the Excellence Gov Award.
Let's do that. First of all, one of the things that I want to mention something that we tried for the first time this year, which many people thought was the highlight of the conference, a word that is relatively new to me, being I've been around for a while.
I know where you're going here.
other younger folks seem to know is what's called the unconference.
Yeah.
And basically what this is instead of the traditional talking head panel, you get a bunch of people in a room, you give them a topic and a moderator, and it's up to the audience to make it work. They call it an unconference, but the interesting thing is that's really where Management of Change started 30 years ago, was a group of people with a whiteboard talking about how we solve problems. And didn't have fancy names for it back then, but when you talk to people who were at MOC in the early days, said that was the value. You know, we took off our ties, we worked together on solutions.
Yeah, and you didn't even do overheads, which were popular then. You did the whiteboard.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we've gotten away from that, and we're actually trying to get back to that. So we did two of our sessions were unconferences. The moderator of one was Karen Evans. The moderator for another was Chris Dorbeck. One was on insourcing versus outsourcing, and the other one was on I think, governance issues. But the people who attended those thought they were fantastic, and I think you'll see more of those in future events. The other big thing that's a part of each of our conferences is what we call the CXO event. And what we do is we take about 2 or 3 hours, and we have small table discussions, table size limited to 10. At each table, you get a senior government official and a senior industry person, and over the course of that 2 or 3 hours, you talk about 2 or 3 different topics. And we've been doing it for a number of years. The folks who participate love it because you really get to talk one-on-one with your peers in government industry about key topics. Now, this year's event was interesting because we let the audience choose the topics that they wanted to talk about. We gave them a list, and the top 3 topics, and I think this sort of says where the industry and where the community is going. The number 1 topic by a wide margin was improving government-industry communication. The second topic was mobility, and the third was empowering project managers. And so if you think about these as priority issues for the community, it says a lot about what's on the agenda. So, but folks thought that the CXO and the unconferences were among the highlights of the conference.
It's an extraordinary event. It's been a number of years since I attended. I'll really try to make the next one.
Please do, if I register
in time.
Well, we're going to be back at the Homestead last year. The folks loved that place, and we were able to get a nice government per diem. So it was a great event.
Cool. But, you know, again, let me emphasize why I said what I just said. If you hear of these events, this is not something you register for at the last minute. If you are an industry person especially, you need to register early in order to guarantee a slot. If you're a government person, that probably does not apply.
Yeah. So there were a couple of other highlights at Management of Change I just want to quickly mention.
Please.
Each year we have an awards program called the Excellence.gov Awards. And this program recognizes outstanding government programs that enhance government operations, not industry programs, not industry technologies, but government programs. And earlier this year, we had in March, we had our awards luncheon. We had about 90 applicants from around the country, including the best mobile app was one of the categories this year.
Cool.
And we brought in the 20 finalists, and we announced the seven award winners. And we one of the benefits of being an award winner of the program is that they these government programs got a free exhibit at MOC and a chance to share what worked with many of their colleagues in government industry. And that's been a long time highlight of the Management of Change Conference. So we were pleased to have them there. And then the other big event at Management of Change is the presentation of the John J. Frankie Award. There are probably some in your audience who are old enough to remember John J. Frankie, who was an assistant secretary of management, I think, at agriculture and other agencies.
Yep.
Was recognized as being a leader, not just a leader in the ability to create a vision, but the leader in motivating people in collaboration and consensus and really making a difference. And it's one of the two major awards that we give each year. This year, we were delighted to give that award to Roger Baker, the Assistant Secretary for Information Technology over at VA, for his leadership. And it was truly a pleasure to acknowledge the work that he has done and is doing to on behalf of the citizen.
Well, that and the fact that Roger just has a second largest agency, just tons and tons of things on his plate, and how he manages all of that stuff is fascinating to watch from the outside.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's move on to this fall's biggie. What year is this for ELC?
This is going to be the 21st annual Executive Leadership Conference.
Okay.
And this is the
IAC version, right?
It is.
Yeah.
A couple of differences. It's twice the size of MOC. MOC is an intimate conference of only about 350, 400 people. ELC is limited to 850 people. Again, we have the no more than three industry for every government person ratio to facilitate collaboration. For the last several years, we've been going to Colonial Williamsburg, and the folks love it, so we'll be back at Colonial Williamsburg on October 23rd and 25th. The conference this year is under the leadership of Chris Smith of Agriculture and Lee Holcomb of Lockheed Martin. And the planning committee has already selected the theme. The four tracks are going to be innovation. That's both business innovation and technical innovation, mobility, and trust. And so they over the next few weeks, you'll see announcements of who the speakers are going to be, what the sessions are going to be, and registration will open in July. So that's not too early to start thinking about making plans to be in Williamsburg in October.
I would put actgov.org on my July 1 calendar and just put monitor for registration right now.
That's a good suggestion.
Again, it'll fill up in what, a week or two.
It does fill up very quickly.
So again, if you're a govy, that's probably not quite as pressing, but it'd be good to register early. But if you're industry, if you want to go, you got to register early.
Yeah, and so, we do limit industry attendance based on what dues level you pay. So
okay,
contact us for details. We'll be glad to provide the information.
Cool, and you do have to be a member to go.
We have a limited number of non-member slots, but primarily it's the member, because their attendance is limited, we have to give first priority to IAC members.
Sure, yeah, at 850, and if you're doing 3-to-1, that's 600 industry folks, maybe 620,
yep.
And that's it.
That's it, so that does fill up quickly.
Yeah, and you have 500 plus companies that are members, so they're going to grab quick, and you've got over 2,000 government people involved in one way or another.
We do.
It's
a lot of people involved, and that's part of what makes it fun.
It does make it fun, and it makes it interesting, and it makes it one of the both MOC and ELC are among the premier events where you can network with the movers and shakers in this market.
That's right.
absolutely critical events.
Yep.
All right. My guest today, if you haven't figured out, is Ken Allen, Executive Director of ACT-IAC. You can find them at actgov.org, actgov.org. When we come back, we're going to delve into a number of the projects that ACT-IAC is involved in. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA, the Army and Air Force Mutual Aid Association. For over 132 years, we've been protecting soldiers, airmen, and their families with low-cost life insurance. We've also been caring for survivors of members with unique survivor assistance services. At AFMA, we understand the many challenges that military families can face during their service and after the loss of a loved one. As a nonprofit membership association, AFMA always focuses on what is in the members' best interest. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for military personnel and the best services for survivors. And it also means offering policies with no war, no aviation, and no terrorism clauses or surcharges. For a free quote on life insurance, call the membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or visit us online at AFMA.com today. That's AAFMAA.com.
It's the only program of its kind in the world. A unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, defense industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. All without the career interruption of a traditional degree. Learn more at som.gmu.edu/defense. That's som.gmu.edu/defense. Do it today because the last day to apply for the fall semester is July 15th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University, helping our country's defense, advancing your career.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Air Inc.
President Barack Obama with a blunt and chilling warning for al-Qaeda.
We not only took out the symbol and operational leader of al-Qaeda, we walked off with his files.
He called it the largest treasure trove of intelligence ever seized from a terrorist.
Today, every terrorist in the al-Qaeda network should be watching their back, because we're going to review every video, we are going to examine every photo, we're going to read every one of those millions of pages, we're going to pursue every lead.
He told an audience at the CIA they're going to go wherever they have to go to finish the job. I'm J.J. Green.
A concern of every pilot is the weather and needing to know if the conditions are about to deteriorate either on the flight path or where the aircraft is landing. That's where Air Inc. comes in. At the air crew's request, Air Inc. texts the latest weather information directly to the cockpit, thus providing pilots the information they need to decide whether to change routes or divert to another landing location. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on 1500 a.m. This week, my special guest will be Dean Catino of Monument Wealth Management. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Check us out on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Profile America, Monday, May 23rd. One sure sign that summer is near is the covers coming off of boats and backyards and marinas all over the country as people get ready for a season of fun on the water. With the long Memorial Day weekend coming up, this is National Safe Boating Week. One of the key themes of the program is to get more people to wear life jackets. The Coast Guard notes that in over three-quarters of all fatal boating accidents, victims drowned. Of those, more than 8 out of 10 were not wearing a life jacket. Alcohol, lack of training, and inability to swim also contribute to fatal accidents. About 66 million people enjoy boating each year, and there are nearly 17 million pleasure boats on the nation's lakes, rivers, and coastlines. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ken Allen, Executive Director of ACT IAC, the American Council on Technology and the Industry Advisory Council. You can find them at actgov.org. Ken, let's get into some of the projects that ACT IAC is currently involved in.
Okay.
And these are through your shared interest groups.
Yeah, let me explain for the audience who may not be aware of what the shared interest groups are. We have eight standing committees, basically, on various topics ranging from acquisition to information security or cybersecurity to human capital that throughout the year is intended to address high priority issues of interest to the government. Each of these SIGs, as we call them, has a government advisory panel of government folks who advise the SIG on what the issues are, help them focus their activities, review the final report. So it is the heart and soul of the collaborative activities that we provide this organization. And as is usual, we have a number of significant projects underway. And let me just sort of mention some of them. First of all, we are working with Treasury and GSA on a project to improve federal grants management, to reduce improper payments, and to improve how the government manages and monitors overall grants programs throughout the executive branch.
Would that include making certain that the grant money is used for the actual program that it was intended for?
Well, in the sense that it's a process to make sure that it's legitimately and effectively and legally being authorized. We don't get into how you make decisions about where grant money is spent.
Okay.
But, yes, managing the process to make sure that once somebody else makes the decision that it is well managed. There's a lot of waste in proper payments and grants management, and so we are working with the Treasury and GSA on that activity. We have another shared interest group that is working closely with the federal IPv6 task group to transition to IPv6. What we're doing in this case is we're sponsoring some discussion forums of stakeholders to identify best practices for moving forward. And that's a very active project. We're working with the Information Sharing Environment Program Manager to update the National Information Sharing Strategy. We are working with the Treasury on the creation of a comprehensive common business language to support electronic data interchange, EDI, to implement Treasury's electronic invoice presentment and processing solutions. We're in the know, it's the EIPP. A project that is very exciting that's underway right now is our telecommunications and networks SIG is, at GSA's request, hosting a series of small group roundtables on what Networks 2020 will look like. Clearly, that's the next iteration of the government telecommunications system. And we're pleased to be able to do some brainstorming and thinking about what should it look like down the road. And I want to commend GSA for asking that question now rather than in 2019. That's just sort of skimming across some of the projects that the SIGs are doing. We also have activities underway that are cross-SIG activities. One is we've had underway for the last year and a half a cloud computing working group, and we're working closely with OMB and GSA on identifying best practices for areas such as IT security and how you implement the Trusted Internet Connection Program when implementing public and hybrid cloud computing models. So
OMB is your old stomping ground.
A little bit, yeah. So those are some of the things that our shared interest groups are doing. And, but that's not the only collaborative activity we have.
Let me throw out a couple of other things here that I'd like you to briefly comment on, because I know that ACT-IAC's involved in them, the VISTA.
Right. Well, apart from the shared interest groups, we've also in the last couple of years gotten more involved in more significant projects. VISTA is a good example. VISTA, of course, is the VA's preeminent health care information system. It's been around for about 20, 30 years. It is the backbone of the 800 VA hospitals and many other medical facilities. VA came to us about a year and a half ago and said, does industry have any recommendations on how we take this legacy system written in mumps language and move it into the 21st century? We put together a working group of industry that spent about 6 months looking at this issue, about 40 companies. And let me make a note that's true about all of our projects. When I say we put together a group of industry folks to look at a project, they participate in these activities by taking off their corporate hat. This is not a business development activity. It's an opportunity to work together as an industry to provide government with advice. And the second thing is we don't get paid by it for any of this stuff. It's all done by volunteers.
Right. So,
but we came up with a recommendation to move forward based on at the core of an open source strategy. And VA has recently announced that they're going to implement a strategy very consistent with what we recommended. So clearly, we gave them a lot of things to think about. That's only one of several projects that we've gotten involved in. We played a key role in providing comments to Vivek Kundra on the process that led to his 25-point implementation plan. We are now working closely with OMB on the MythBusters program. Of course, MythBusters is all about improving government industry communication.
My favorite name.
I agree, and also it's our favorite mantra, because that's what we're all about. In addition to providing them suggestions on strategy, we hosted a public dialogue for the Federal CIO Council on how to improve communication. Our acquisition shared interest group sponsored a workshop that identified the do's and don'ts of government industry communication in the acquisition process. And we're now in the process, and if you have any IAC members or government folks out there who want to get involved, we're now establishing a working group of government industry folks to take it to the next step, to develop best practices, to identify case studies, perhaps develop some training courses on how do you actually improve communications between government and industry, because I think there's more support for that concept, but it's not going to happen overnight. It needs additional work. We are also working with GSA on point 25 of the 25-point plan. That's creating an interactive platform for pre-RFP collaboration. Another project that's underway, and I'm just sort of running across these because there's so many quickly, we're doing some work for Danny Werfel, the controller of the United States at OMB, on how to improve the acquisition of financial management information systems. We just briefed him on our recommendations. And we will be releasing those probably within the next 30 days to the community. So we'll look forward to the reactions of folks. We are now in discussions with GSA on mobility. They are embarking on a project to help agencies deal with citizen-centric mobility issues. We're in discussions with them on how we can help in that area.
Cool. My guest today is Ken Allen, Executive Director of ACT-IAC. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the education and professional development offered through programs at ACT-IAC, including the Voyagers program, some of the chapters for ACT-IAC, and more. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
At Equity One, they know you are more concerned than ever about outliving your money. With all the bumps in the road through your retirement years, it's vital that you map out your retirement to protect your principal and gains, minimize taxes, keep more of your Social Security check, and enable your investments to effectively fight inflation. Call Equity One today at 1-877-313-4080. That's 1-877-313-4080, and they'll help you learn how to invest your money with market gains without market risk. If you're a saver, they'll show you how to fight inflation, preserving and increasing your purchasing power without risking your savings. As you age, you can less stand the losses and lack of liquidity in the market, as life has given us less time to recover. Equity One, Inc. looks forward to hearing from you. Call Equity One today at 877-313-4080. That's 877-313-4080. Or visit Equity, the number one, INC.
From text messages to apps, games, and email, the mobile internet is becoming a bigger part of our lives every day. And whether we live in the city or on the open countryside, all Americans should benefit from mobile internet investment. That's why LightSquared is investing in the first nationwide wholesale-only 4G LTE mobile broadband network integrated with coast-to-coast satellite coverage. By partnering with wireless service providers, retailers, and device manufacturers, LightSquared is making seamless, ultra-fast mobile broadband a reality for every American. Send an email from the Grand Canyon. Download movies in minutes while on the go. Make calls hundreds of miles from the nearest cell tower. It's all possible with the LightSquared network. LightSquared, lighting the way to a wireless broadband revolution. Learn how LightSquared is creating jobs, encouraging innovation, and investing in vital American infrastructure at LightSquared.com.
With vacation time just around the corner, are you ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security Systems has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Call 888-999-1070 or on the web at AckermanSecurity.com.
See more, do more, get more. HP Notebook PCs powered by Vision Pro technology from AMD simply deliver more. Graphics made incredible, multitasking made easy, high performance made possible. Designed with HP mobile innovations that let productivity happen anywhere, anytime. Notebooks built to handle big demands. Price so your budget can handle it. Give your agency the power of HP and AMD. To find out how, go to hp.com/go/perform.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Ken Allen. Ken is the Executive Director of the American Council on Technology and the Industry Advisory Council, ACT-IAC, and you can find them at actgov.org. org. Ken, let's talk a little bit about the education and professional development offered through ACT-IAC, and start with the Voyager program, please.
I'd be glad to do that, Mark. Just as collaboration is one of the major focuses of this organization, the other one is education, promoting the professional development of the government IT community, and ensuring that the folks in that community have the skills and the knowledge to move forward. And that's really been in the bylaws since 1979. And obviously, much of what we do is education-oriented. For example, if you go to our conferences, you can get educational credits and all that. But we also run what I think are two of the premier professional development programs in the community. And the one I want to talk about right now is called Voyagers. Voyagers program is a program for about 30 to 40 government to industry folks each year. It's a 10-month program, and it's not 10 months solid. It basically is about 1 or 2 days a month. But what's unique about Voyagers, and this is for the GS 11 to 13 an equivalent person, is that for 10 months, we partner an industry person and a government person. They basically walk in each other's shoes for 10 months. And we just graduated, at MOC, we just graduated the last class of Voyagers. And the folks who've been through it tell me that it is one of the most amazing experiences they've ever had, because you get to see the world through the eyes of someone on the other side. And you also develop a relationship that's going to last throughout your entire career. And it's just a truly fascinating, outstanding program. As I said, we only take about 30 to 40 folks, evenly split between government and industry. The nomination process for the next class is opening this week. And I would urge anyone in your audience who's truly interested in broadening their horizons, learning more about the community at large, learning more about the other folks who are in it, to consider applying for it. Now, we also have a corollary program called the Partners Program, which is for more senior folks at the GS 14 to 15 who are on their way up to the SDS level. Same sort of thing, application process, limited to 30 to 40 people, and it's 10 months of getting to know a different perspective on the issues in the community. So both of those are really, we've graduated over the years about 500 folks.
How many were in the recent graduating class?
We had, I think, 26 in the recent graduating class.
Cool.
And but over the years it's been done, I said there are 500 folks throughout this community who have graduated, and I think they are now what we call ACT-IAC Fellows, sort of our alumni association, and they continue to remain very involved and committed. And in fact, one of the things they do a lot is support the community through some volunteer activities, which is very exciting. So,
cool.
Great program. Urge people to look into it. It's on our website.
Now, FGPSE, when it started back in the late 70s, started with a number of regional chapters. It was a Federation of Government Information Processing Councils.
That's correct.
Yeah. Over the years, a lot of those have just sort of faded away. There are a couple left. AFIRM was originally an ACT-IAC chapter, as was the Supercomputing Group,
yep,
headed by John Miguel. But you still have a couple of active chapters. I know Denver has been active for several years now, but you got a new one too, right?
We do in San Diego. But you're absolutely right. In the 70s, if you recall, I talked about how government was investing in technologies. Much of that investment was taking place out in the field at military bases and in regional offices. And around the country, we saw the creation of what were called federal ADP users groups, where they'd get together for lunch or breakfast to exchange ideas. And it was these organizations that ultimately created this federation. Over the years, as technology changed, as CIO positions were created in headquarters, as new regulatory regimes were put in place, much of the influence and the authority moved to Washington, and the councils actually faded away for the most part. Denver has had a constant activity, Affirm and the high-performance computing centers you noted are the ones that are left. What we've seen in the last couple of years, though, is requests from the field to provide the same sort of collaborative forum that we see here in Washington. And I've learned in my travels, the farther you get from the Washington Monument, the more difficult it is for government and industry to work together. You get to the West Coast, and it's almost impossible in some venues for them to talk to each other. But there's a recognition that there's value in that. So we have we've resurrected a chapter in Denver. We have one in San Diego. I was just down in Atlanta talking to the folks down there. They're just interested in creating a chapter there. But the improving government industry communication is not confined to Washington, D.C., particularly when you recognize that 90% of all government and federal government employees live outside of Washington. So we're trying to support that wherever there's a core of folks interested in pursuing that path.
Yeah, and it's not an easy thing to do because it is volunteer. It may be endorsed by your agency or your employer or not, but it's an extraordinarily worthwhile activity. I actually spoke out at the Denver chapter several years back when our friend Jim was still active there. You're not going to get any traction in this market unless you interact and develop key relationships between industry and government, period.
You're right, and I think that's recognized throughout the nation. But you're also right that it takes volunteers. This ACT IAC is unique because we depend to a great deal on volunteers, more so than almost every other organization in this community, and that's part of what makes it exciting. If there's anybody out there listening to us around the country who is interested in creating a chapter, have them get in touch with me.
Well, let's have some final thoughts then, because I know you have some transitions coming up as well.
We do. Overall, let me talk about ACT IAC. The relationship between the ACT side of the house and the IAC side of the house has been up and down over the years, just the nature of the market and the community. I am delighted to tell you that relationship is stronger than ever. ACT and IAC are marching together in the same direction in lockstep. They share a common vision and a common set of goals. One of the things we do is that our leadership transition takes place on July 1st for both organizations. On the IAC side of the house, the IAC Executive Committee, Jim Beaupre of M86 Security is going to become the IAC chair on July 1st, replacing Andy Robinson of ICF.
And Jim's probably one of those ones who's been to all of the MOCs, too.
He has. Jim is a longtime volunteer and leader. And Andy has done a great job as chair. Jim, I know, is going to continue that. What's interesting about IAC is that we're also electing the person who will follow in Jim's place, and we have several positions on the executive committee. This is a contested election. Unlike most associations in our community, these people are actually running against each other. And we have an outstanding slate of candidates. I urge your listeners to go to our website, look at the candidates. And if you want to hear their statements on May 25th at our membership meeting, they're all going to do campaign speeches.
Over at the Fairview Park.
At the Fairview Park? And yeah. I promise each speech is limited to 3 minutes. So it will be fine. But we win whoever gets elected. On the ACT side of the House, Prashant Gaur of DOD has been our chair. His term is coming to an end. And while we were at Management of Change Conference, the ACT Board of Directors elected a new chair. On July 1st, Mary Davey of GSA is going to become the new ACT president and elected as ACT Executive Vice President and becoming ACT president the following year is Darren Ash of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Cool.
Both just outstanding individuals, and we're just thrilled to have them in leadership roles.
As well you should be. Ken, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Mark. It's always a delight.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Ken Allen, Executive Director of ACT IAC. And again, you can find them at actgov.org. But this is not my day job. If you need better ROI on your marketing for the end of FY, give me a call.